Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Father Heart TV webcast. Again, another week. Here we are. Good to see you, Barry. How you doing?
It's always good to see you and good to see all our friends around the world joining.
And you've been a busy boy today.
Yes, I just took a little brief stop to Taiwan this morning. So, yeah, I was there speaking at an online school for an hours and a bit this morning. So, but I'm back again. Now I'm with you in England, and I'm with everybody else wherever they are around the world. So the wonders of technology, eh?
Wonders of technology. I hope they gave you a first-class ticket on that flight.
Yes, it was amazing. I seemed to get there. I just kind of, you know, twinkle, twinkle, and I was in Taiwan. So as the internet goes, it's great.
Where would we be without the internet, eh?
I had to provide my own beverage, though.
Did you? Well, that's what happens on economy flights these days. You know, they don't give you any food, so you have to do your own thing a little bit. So, well done. Well, that's good. And what else is happening in your world? Anything else coming up? You're not with us next week.
No, I'm actually our home church, Lake Mount Worship Center in Grimsby. That's the area where we live. I'll be doing a 3-day school there for them and for their interns. So, yeah. So unfortunately, it falls. It's only 2 hours a day, but the 2 hours fall right when the webcast is. Now, can you mention, and if I'm being premature with this, please let me know, is it next week that there's a time change?
I was going to mention that, yes. Yeah, it is next week. So let's deal with the time change now. In Europe, on Sunday, our clocks go back an hour. Yeah. And North America follows us the week later. So next week, the webcast will be at 8 o'clock UK time, 9 o'clock as normal, 9 o'clock European time as normal, and East Coast America, Eastern Standard Time, it will be at 4 p.m. So for you guys in North America, it's going to be an hour later. So Eastern Standard Time, 4 hours, just work it across the continent and you'll know what to do.
So yeah, and also, I'm not sure, again, I can barely keep track of the time change. Every time change twice a year that Mark and I have, I get it wrong. I don't know what it is. It's kind of a mental block. But then, of course, there is Asia and New Zealand and Australia, which I have no idea. I'm thinking that they will be affected as well.
Well, New Zealand's already gone.
Right, so... Yes. But they will be affected by
again,
the Eastern.
They will. Everybody will be affected. Yes.
Just for a week.
Just
I think
week.
We are a week later and then we'll be normal.
Yeah. Normal. Whatever normal is. And next week, while Barry is at his home church, I'll be doing the webcast. And I've asked Wynette from the Netherlands to be the guest speaker. And she's going to be speaking on All My Springs, All My Fountains Are in You. It's a talk she did on our series of seminars a few weeks ago, and it was really excellent, really very good. So I've asked her if she'll come on to the webcast next week and do that. So next week it will be Wynette on. And so that's pretty much it. And then 2 weeks' time, it'll be the normal times so far as North America and Europe are concerned. But just next week, it's a week out. So... yeah, so there we go. So that's it. And can I just mention the seminars that we've got coming up in November? We got the third part of the seminars, the 16th to the 18th of November. Let me just put this up. Following the same pattern as before, I'm doing it with Trevor Galpin, and our topic for these 3 days is planted in love. And we'll be really looking at what sonship looks like, what sonship means, how we walk as Jesus walked. And so what we'll be doing is we'll be doing two teaching sessions each afternoon, UK time, And then at the end of each afternoon, we'll be following that up with a Zoom question and answer, maybe a bit of ministry as well. But all of the information, the booking form and everything, all the details about it, are fathertoyou.com/seminars. And, you know, you're all very welcome. We would love to have as many of you as possible joining us for that. So that's part three of the seminars in November. And I think if the plan goes according to the plan, Barry, I'm in Moldova a couple of weeks before that doing some online seminars. But the plan hasn't quite come together yet. So we're still working on communicating and trying to get that sorted.
So that's not in person, though.
That's not in person, no. That's just online again, a bit like this. So, yeah, good.
Awesome. And if I can just make a comment from being an objective source.
Of course.
And, you know, I'm not a paid sponsor of the seminars, but I would just from my own experience and from what I've heard feedback from other people from the seminar I was with Mark. In I think June, July, it is worth it. And of course, with Trevor and Mark together, it really, really would be a good investment of your time. And also with the one that Mark did with Winnet, it was Winnet, right?
In
Friend Comfort.
Yeah.
And that was from what I heard, it was very, very powerful. So just encourage you to consider that. So again, that's just an objective encouragement.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate that. So just want to share a bit of news with you guys who are regulars on the webcast. Our dear friend John McDonald is in Bulgaria this weekend. He arrived yesterday. He's doing a series of meetings over the next few days. And those of you who have been on the webcast for a while will be very familiar with our dear brother Carl Aldam, who's an American but is working with YWAM over in Bulgaria. And he's a lovely guy. He's got a beautiful heart. I met him in Romania actually last year. And John was staying with Carl for this weekend coming up. And this morning I had a very, very sad text from John to say that 10:30 this morning in Bulgarian time, Carl went out to get some wood for the fire. And John saw him out the window, gave him a wave. And then about 10 minutes later, John just looked out of the window again, and sadly, Carl had collapsed. And John ran down there, ran outside, and tragically, Carl had passed away. He'd had it looks like it had been a massive heart attack. John tried to resuscitate him. They got the paramedics round, and they just couldn't do anything for Carl. Carl's wife Kathy is still in America. She's in Minnesota, and so John was really caught up in all of this. He had to phone Carl's daughter. He had to phone Carl's wife and break the sad news that Carl had died. And for Carl, it's a great relief. He wasn't in the best of health, but he's now at home. He's with his father. He's in that place of freedom and that place of joy, that place of, you know, eternal comfort. But for everybody else, it's a huge shock and, of course, a lot of pain of losing someone they dearly love. And so we just wanted to share that on the webcast tonight because Carl has been a dear brother. He's very supportive, very, very encouraging, always contributing in the chat. And he's just been such a blessing to Barry and I over the time we've been doing the webcast. So we would just ask you to pray for Kathy, his wife, Kathy Eldon, and his daughters. When I actually phoned John this morning and spoke to him on the phone, and he was in shock. I think that's fair to say. He was finding, you know, he was just in shock, as you would be, as you can imagine. he was going to get a flight and come home early, but the YWAM people have asked him to stay and do the conferences because they felt that's what Carl would have wanted. So John's going ahead with the weekend. I think comfort is probably going to be a big topic. But I just, you know, I think John will be able to bring comfort to Carl's friends, but my prayer too is that John is comforted for, you know, the shock he experienced. So Barry, I just wonder if you'd like to pray for, Kathy and the family, for John, and then maybe just for the rest of our evening together.
Yeah, for sure. I would be honored to do that. To add to what you said, Mark, about Carl, and it's something that we talked about before we started the webcast, is that I don't know of any other person really in recent memory on our webcast that has been so engaged in the conversation and so encouraging and so affirming throughout the webcast. So he's a dear brother. And he will be dearly missed. Let's just pray, and then I'll pass it over to you, my brother. Father, we thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted, and you promise to save those who are crushed in spirit. And we want to lift up today, Father, just Kathy, Carl's wife, and just their children, their family, their close friends. Anybody who would be touched by this shocking event, Father, I suspect that there is quite a few people, because Carl has just impacted so many people in his life.
Yeah.
And we just ask that your comfort would come, that you would wrap your arms of love around each one, and just, when words fail, Father, when there's nothing that we can say, but just to come alongside and just be quiet. And we just pray for that, your comforting love to come to them. And Father, we also pray for John and just being there just experiencing what he experienced. And we just ask that you would just wrap up John in your arms and as he proceeds with the weekend and what he was planning to do already. We just pray that for the YWAM team and for every person that attends these events, that you would just be so, show yourself so tangible and just real in people's lives, Father, and just in the realness and the toughness of life, Father, that you would just a deeper awareness that we would all be carried. And Father, I just pray for my brother Mark today as he shares what's on his heart, and for each one who is listening, Lord, would you just help us to be awakened to who we really are, and to the, to the hope that we have in Christ, and we know that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, and so we, with mixed feelings, we weep with those who weep, but we also know that Carl is rejoicing now in heaven as well, and so as we just deal with these things ourselves, just bless Mark, pray for clarity. And just that we would all be able to be transformed today from one degree of glory to the next. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. Yeah, well, welcome everyone to the webcast. Sorry to sort of start with such sad news, but that's life and we are family together. Even before I heard the news over the last couple of days, I was just thinking about what I wanted to talk about tonight on the webcast. And what really landed in my heart for this evening was to talk about our homecoming, about coming home. And our brother Carl is home. He's gone home now, and he will know what that means in all its fullness. But of course, there's another homecoming. It's the homecoming of our hearts. And when I talk about comfort, which I seem to do more and more these days, the sections in my overview of comfort is to talk about homecoming. And I really just felt that I wanted to unpack that little section in more detail for us this evening. Because one of the things I've really realized, I suppose, is a homecoming is not a single event. It's not a one-off event. I mean, for me, I know when I was at that conference in Toronto in 2002, I know I had a homecoming. I know my heart came home, maybe for the first time properly, and I really knew what it was to be at home in my Father's love. And I guess for a while I thought that was it. And, you know, God did an amazing amount in my life in that time and in that season. But what I've realized is that that was just the first part of a journey. And what I want to live in is an ongoing homecoming. And many of you will have heard me say before, you know, the Father said to me a few years ago, Mark, you need a deeper homecoming. And those words keep coming back to me. You need a deeper homecoming, because there's always more of our heart that needs to come home. And so I just want to talk about homecoming and how comfort is so important in that journey of bringing our heart home. I was just thinking about this last night and just planning and, you know, getting my thoughts straight, if you like. And I thought, well, what does it actually mean when we talk about coming home or homecoming? And it's I was trying to define it and for myself, really. And I think what I came down to is before we have a homecoming, before we come home, our heart is lonely. It's outside. You know, we may not know that, we may not realize that, we may not be aware of that's what's going on, but to an extent, until we come home into the Father's love, there is a loneliness about us that something inside of us is not satisfied. And that something is only fully satisfied when we come home into the Father's love. See, when we come home, we have that sense of belonging. And it's a place of safety, it's a place of security, it's a place of provision, it's family, it's relationships, it's a place really where it's okay to make mistakes. And one of the things I've discovered as we live in sonship, as we walk as Jesus walked, is that our mistakes don't disqualify us. See, in the world, and sadly in competitive Christianity, if we make a mistake, we're disqualified, we're written off, and we feel the abandonment of that. But when we've really come home, and when we know we've come home, when our hearts are at home, you know, it's okay to make a mistake. We don't, of course, set out to make mistakes, but inevitably, you know, we make mistakes as we journey through life. And the joy that we find is those mistakes don't disqualify us. And I just want to say to you tonight that if you are feeling disqualified in any way because of any mistake you've made, for whatever reason, I just want to say to you that in the Father's love, in the Father's arms, that mistake doesn't disqualify you. And if you're feeling like you are disqualified or abandoned or put to one side for whatever reason, then I want to encourage you to just bring that bit of your heart home tonight, because as you come home, you'll be reaffirmed, if you like, in that place and position of sonship. Homecoming is all about belonging. It's all about coming from the outside to the inside. And, you know, God doesn't want us to live on the outside. That's where the elder brother lived. He wants to bring us into the fullness of his presence, and he wants to wrap his arms around us and just hold us in that embrace. And it's in that embrace that we really, I think, have this tremendous sense of belonging, tremendous sense of affirmation, and a sense that it's okay. That we may be in the middle of a storm, and there may be stuff going on around us, but it's okay because we're in that safe place with our Father. And so I just really want to talk about coming home and a homecoming, and maybe just give us an opportunity to experience a deeper homecoming this evening or today in the Father's love, in the Father's embrace, because that's the place of security. It's the place of belonging. It's the place of acceptance and affirmation. And I want to speak all of those things over you tonight, you know, that you belong, that you are accepted, that you're affirmed. And, you know, that is just such a beautifully safe place for us to dwell. Been thinking a bit over the last while about the Father, you know, the Lord's presence, God's presence, and just living in his presence. Did a little video the other day based on Psalm 23. It's on the website. It's one of my snapshots of truth, but really just how that whole psalm is talking about the Father's provision and the Father's presence and the security of being in the Father's presence, where we're provided for, whether it's in a season where we're by the still waters or in a season where we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We've got a Father who loves to provide and will provide and will keep us in the shelter of his wings. And so for me, this is a very, very important experience for us to have a homecoming, a deeper homecoming, an ongoing homecoming. And I see it very much tied in with comfort, because sometimes when we talk about comfort, we need, or we think about comfort in a historical sense. We know things have happened in our life that have hurt us, have wounded us, and we were never comforted for. And we know we need to receive comfort. And what tends to happen is we receive comfort for our historical events. And when we feel they are sorted out, we go, okay, done that, tick the box, and we move on. But what I've really begun to see over these last couple of years or so is that even when all of the historical events have been comforted, we need to go on receiving comfort, because as we go on receiving comfort, it builds that reservoir and that strength inside of us that enables us to live from our heart and to live from a place of strength, not a strength of our own making, but a strength that comes from this comforted heart. You see, because a comforted heart is free. A comforted heart can grow strong, and a comforted heart is filled with the spirit of life. And as sons and daughters, if we can live in that place of comfort, live out of the fullness of comfort, I really believe we will begin to walk as Jesus walked. And, you know, that's what sonship is. It's walking as Jesus walked. And it enables us to build our life on the solid rock. You know, Jesus told that story of the wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms came, the house stood firm. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. And of course, in a time of trouble, in a time of storm, the house fell down. And I believe as we soak our lives in comfort, and as we build up a reservoir of comfort, it creates that strong foundation in us so that we are people who are building our lives on the solid rock. And you know, that's what I want to encourage you to do. You know, don't just think of comfort as something historical, but think of it as something that is going to lead you in the future and is going to give you that security and strength from which to live. And it's a foundation for you to build your free heart upon, so that you can live in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. Because that's what we are. We're meant, you know, We are sons, we are daughters, and our inheritance is to be free. And I just believe the more we are comforted, the more we will be free. And so I want to encourage you to just soak in that comfort and to build up that reservoir, to build up that resource, and so that you know that your life is built on the rock. I just want to look at a few very well-known passages out of Isaiah, which talk about comfort and in the same passage talk about homecoming. And that's why I really believe that a comforted heart can find its way home, and a comforted heart can experience that homecoming that Isaiah talks about, that Isaiah prophesies. So Isaiah 40 verses 1 and 2, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received double from the, she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." And when Isaiah says comfort, comfort, what he's really saying, the emphasis he's really putting on those words is, may you be greatly comforted. And don't we need to be greatly comforted? You know, we're living in very uncertain times. We're living in very challenging times. There's a lot of fear around, and there's a lot of uncertainty around. And people really are on edge, and increasingly on edge. And you know, I believe as Christians, we don't have to live in fear. I we will fear the stresses of life. We will feel the pressure of life. We will be subject to all of the uncertainties that everybody else is subject to, but we don't have to be rooted in fear, because we're rooted in love. And perfect love casts out all fear. And so, again, I just want to, you know, fear is so easy to fall into. We get sucked into fear very, very easily. And, you know, I don't blame anyone for being sucked into fear, because I know my heart gets sucked into fear. But I want to encourage us this evening just to say again that perfect love casts out all fear. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. And the kingdom of Satan is a kingdom of fear. And you know, in this season that we're living through at the moment, we need to be greatly comforted, because it is so uncertain and unsure. And it's in that uncertainty that we can receive the comforting love of the Father into our hearts. And so I want to encourage you to just be greatly comforted tonight. Not just comforted, but greatly comforted, so that you know, it's just drawing that life from the Father into our hearts. But you see, a little bit later on in Isaiah 40, he starts off the chapter by saying, may you be greatly comforted. And then in verse 5, Isaiah says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. Now, when Moses asked God in Exodus, Moses said to God, he said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And what happened, and I'm sure you'll remember this, is what happened was God hid Moses in a little cleft of the rock, and then the glory of the Lord passed in front of Moses. And what we read is Moses saw this. He said, the Lord, he is gracious and compassionate, he is slow to anger, he is forgiving, his love endures for generations. You see, when Moses asked to see the glory of the Lord, he had a revelation of the personality and the character and the nature of God the Father. He was the compassionate one, the gracious one, he was slow to anger, he's forgiving, his love is just there for generations. And I believe, as I read this passage in Isaiah, that what Isaiah is saying is, as we are comforted, so the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And it will be revealed through us. as sons and daughters, that this world around us will get a revelation of the nature and the personality of God the Father. Not just through us, but I believe directly they will see and behold like Moses saw, and they will see the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord is not, I mean, it is described as a fire, it is described as a cloud, but in Exodus and in the Psalms, a revelation of the glory of the Lord is a revelation of the personality and the nature of who God is. And John sums it up so beautifully in his first letter when he says, God is love. And as our hearts are comforted, I believe we will see a revelation of the nature and the personality of who God really is. We will begin to see in all its fullness, in a greater way, that God truly is love. That those three words define who he is. God is love. See, that's what walking as Jesus walked. See, that Jesus revealed the Father's glory. You know, we read that in John's Gospel, that his life was a revelation of the Father's glory because he was walking in sonship. He was walking in that relationship with the Father where he just wanted to do his Father's will. He just wanted to please his Father. And, you know, as we follow in his footsteps, as we walk as Jesus walked, I believe we are comforted, but I also believe, like Jesus, we reveal the glory of the Lord. We reveal his nature and his personality. And as Isaiah goes on in chapter 40, we read of this renewal and this restoration. At the end of the chapter, he says, you know, we will rise up on wings like eagles. Young men will run and not grow weary. You know, and it's like there's a restoration, there's a renewal. And I see that as being the fruit of a comforted heart. That as we are comforted and as we live in comfort and as we build up this reservoir of comfort, so there will be a restoration, so there will be a renewal in our hearts. And isn't that something we long for? Don't we want that? We want to be renewed, we want to be refreshed, we want to be restored. And it's that comforted heart that is renewed and restored. And you know what comfort does to it is, as the Father pours his comforting love into our heart, we can't be anything but renewed and restored. And it's like new energy that doesn't come out of our own resources or our own strength, but it's because he is the source of our life. And, you know, I just feel like this is so important for us, is to open our hearts to receive the comforting love of the Father. Not just for the past, and that's important, but to receive the comforting love of the Father, to live out of that place of strength and well-being and just that place of life. The other passage I just want to briefly look at is Isaiah 51, which again talks about comfort. Isaiah 51 verse 3, the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and he makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. See, comfort transforms. You know, and as I live in comfort, as I go on receiving comfort, my heart will be transformed. The barren places of my heart will become like a beautiful garden. The desert will become like a beautiful garden. Instead of sadness and sorrow, there will be joy and gladness. And you see, as we are comforted, our heart goes through this transformation. And, you know, you and I know only too well in all of our hearts, there are places of sadness and there are places of sorrow. There are places of regret. maybe some of those mistakes I was talking about a few moments ago. There's the hard times that inevitably we go through, sickness, financial problems, job security, bereavement. There's all these things that we go through, and we can't prevent them happening. It's sadly part of the fallen world we live in. And it's like every time we go through a difficult season, every time we go through a struggle or a challenge, it's maybe like part of our heart dies. Part of our heart becomes a little bit like a desert or a wilderness. And maybe some parts of our heart are good, doing well, and we're happy, you know, but other parts of our heart we identify with this passage in Isaiah. And as we are comforted, that desert, that wilderness is transformed into a beautiful garden, and the sound of thanksgiving and joy can be heard once again. And there are times of mourning, there are times of grief, there are times of sorrow, there are times of sadness. And I believe it's really important for us to grieve when we need to grieve. And there are times when we need to mourn. There are times of sorrow in our lives. But equally, there are times when we feel and we know that the Father is just beginning to comfort us, and little green shoots of life are beginning to emerge again. And you may be in one of those seasons at the moment, a season of sorrow, a season of sadness, a season of mourning or grief. But there will be a time, as you soak yourself in the Father's comforting love, there will be a time when that barren place is turned into a beautiful garden. And there will be joy once again. And what I love about Isaiah 51, it goes on to say this in verse 11. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You see, that's our homecoming. That's our homecoming. We've been rescued. We've been comforted. The Lord is comforting Zion. He's transforming the barren place into a beautiful place. And he is leading us. He is restoring us once again to the fullness of his presence. Our brother Carl is enjoying the fullness of the Lord's presence in a beautiful way tonight. But I believe for each one of us, there is an experience of this homecoming that we can have in our hearts, where we can enter Zion. Zion just speaks of God's presence. We can enter God's presence with singing because he has rescued us. And you see, what comfort does is it rescues us. It comes around us like a big warm blanket, and it lifts us out of that despondency and despair. It washes the pain and the wounds away, and we're lifted out of that place of despair and despondency, and we're brought back into the Lord's presence where there is joy and singing and gladness. And, you know, that's what our Father does, is as he comforts us, we are brought from one place into another place, and our heart comes home. That's what happened in Luke 15. We know that. We talk about it a lot. It's, you know, the father welcomes the son home. He says, son, you belong. He puts the robe around him. He accepts him. He affirms him. And he says, you're part of the family. This is your home. This is the place of security. This is a place of belonging. No longer does your heart have to be lonely. No longer does your heart have to be outside. But it can come inside, into my presence, because you belong, you're part of the family. That restless wandering can come to an end. See, I believe in each one of us, until we come home, until we come home to the Father's embrace, in each one of us there is a restlessness inside of us. And that restlessness says there's always something more I've got to do to be affirmed or valued or accepted. And that leads to a striving and a performance and a feeling that it's all down to me. And instead of the restlessness coming to an end, all we do is we cause it to increase. And we become even more restless because we're trying to find answers, trying to find solutions in our own resources, our own strength. But as we allow our heart to come home, as we find our home, our sense of belonging, our place of belonging in the Father's arms, we know we belong. And when we know we belong, there's nothing more we need to do, because it's all been done for us. There's nothing more I need to do to feel loved, valued, or accepted, because He has brought me home. And I belong because I'm His son. And so really that's the encouragement I want to give us today, is that the redeemed of the Lord return to Zion. We've been rescued from despair and despondency. The Father is pouring His comforting love into our hearts, and He is bringing our hearts home. And so I'm going to invite Barry back on in a minute, but I just want to encourage us to go on receiving comfort, go on being comforted. And you may feel like everything is great and everything is okay, and that's wonderful. We all have times in our life when we feel like that, and that's great. But, you know, we can still be comforted, because we can still build up that reservoir of strength to live from a freer heart. You see, I believe that's what it's all about. It's about freedom. It's about the glorious freedom of the sons of God. It's walking as Jesus walked. Jesus walked with a free heart. He lived with a comforted heart. And, you know, these promises that we've just looked at briefly in Isaiah are basically Isaiah saying, yeah, we all recognize that sometimes our heart's in a bit of a mess. But take heart, be encouraged, that as we are comforted, as we are greatly comforted, so that wasteland, so that desert place will be converted into a beautiful garden, and we will have a song of joy in our hearts that as we come home. For some of you tonight, for some of you today, that may just seem too far off. It may seem like it's impossible to reach for or live in, but I just want to encourage you to keep taking tiny steps of recognizing that your heart needs to be comforted, and saying, Father, will you pour your comfort into my heart? Because I promise you, and I'm not promising you anything out of my own knowledge or wisdom, I'm promising you something out of God's word, that if you do that, eventually the little green shoots of life will be seen in the desert, and eventually that desert will be carpeted with new fruitful flowers, and you will know that your heart is lighter and freer because you come home. Many of us have already experienced a homecoming, but we can experience a deeper homecoming, and we can go on experiencing a homecoming. And I just want to encourage us today to step into the fullness of that homecoming. So Barry, my friend, come and join me.
Thank you, my brother. That was awesome, as always. It's one of those things, that when it comes to comfort, it's... oftentimes we're taught as we're little to kind of, big boys don't cry, right? You just kind of avoid comfort. You don't need comfort. And the reality is we continue to seek comfort. It's just whether it's in the right source of comfort mm-hmm. or in other sources, in achievement or addiction or relationships or even religious striving. So, yeah, it's so just so good to hear what you shared and just the idea. I just think of when you talked about the prodigal son story, you know, really at Luke 15, and just the idea that when he came home, the father didn't make one demand of him. There was no requirements. There was no, you know, ticking off the boxes to make sure that he had really had a repentant heart. He just totally accepted him for as he was, you know, coming out of the pig pen, and he actually covered him. And it just, I think the idea that the father just absolutely, completely accepts us and understand us in our pig pen situations, in our distress, in our worry, in our fear. Like it's just yeah, right, because there's so much of religion that thinks we have to change in order to be accepted, eh? So that's so good, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like us just, I think I'd just like to take some time just going to put some music on, and let's just take a few moments before we finish to receive comfort. And just allow our hearts to be comforted, allow our hearts to be led home. And because there's such a safety and security in the Father's arms. And so we can receive. So wherever you are, just around the world, let's just open our hearts. For some it might be difficult, the pain, the struggles might be very real, but just see if you can take that first step and let the Father pour his comfort into your heart. So Father, we thank you. Thank you that you're the God of all comfort. And you comfort us in all of our sorrows. You are the God of all comfort, and you comfort us in all of our sorrows. And Father, I just ask that you would pour your comforting love into your sons and daughters' hearts right now. Father, that liquid love that goes down the inside edge of the container of our heart and gets underneath that trauma and just lifts it up by the power of love. Father, I pray that your comforting love will get underneath the trauma in our heart and gradually lift it up and allow it to be washed away, so that the weight of trauma and the weight of grief doesn't have to rest in our hearts anymore. Father, I pray that you would comfort us. Father, in this season of uncertainty of jobs and finances and everything else, Father, may we be a people who rest in love rather than being planted in fear. And Father, I just pray for those of my brothers and sisters who are particularly gripped by fear. I just asked, Father, for a double portion of your love this evening, that your perfect love would drive out all fear. Father, may we live in the place of comfort. May we be comforted so that that reservoir of strength is built up inside of us. It gives us the resources to face every day, the resources to live from. That our lives really would be built on a rock and not on the shifting sand. I just ask, Father, that you would bring our hearts home tonight. You bring our hearts home into your everlasting love. And that we would know, maybe for the first time, Father, we would know that we belong. We belong to you. Father, just comfort us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you that you are the Father of compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that you have a heart of compassion for your children.
Yeah.
Because you know how we are made. You remember that we came from dust. You know our frailty. It doesn't surprise you. Yet you are filled with compassion for us, Father, more than we could ever imagine. And Father, anything in us that causes us to be afraid or ashamed or to run and hide from you, Father, I just pray that your perfect love will just deal with any fear, any misconception of your nature. So that we would know, that we would be assured that you are close when we have a broken heart. And you save us when we have a crushed spirit. You don't rebuke us. You just love us. You're with us. You actually share in our suffering. And so, Father, the truth is we all need comfort. We all need to be strengthened. We all need to be encouraged, reassured that we're okay. And so we open our hearts up to you, Father, as just your little kids. Once again, to say, Father, would you just pour out your comforting love in every area of our heart that needs to be comforted? With a father's love, with a mother's love. With a love that nourishes us, a love that protects us, that carries us through every situation that we're going through. We just breathe in your love.
Father, may we experience your tangible love in our hearts that draws us into your presence. And as we stand in your presence, Father, may we have a revelation of who you are. The Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, forgiving. His love endures for thousands of generations. Father, draw us into your presence. May we be like the psalmist. One thing I've desired, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. So Father, as you comfort us, as we find our home in your heart, may we just see again, maybe even see at a deeper level, who you really are. That you're not distant, you're not angry. You don't hold our sin against us, but you are merciful and forgiving, gracious, kind. Patient even, Father, you're patient with us. Thank you, Father. Father, as we sleep tonight, would you sing a song of love into our hearts, that we would wake up in the morning refreshed by your goodness. Sitting here, just feeling that beautiful sense of the Father's love and his presence. And I know if I feel that, I know we can all, we'll all be feeling that. So, amen. Thank you. Thank you for being with us once again. Yeah, we'll be back next week. And, Barry, have a good time in your school of ministry. Keep remembering our brother John McDonald, as he's in Bulgaria for the next few days. You know, that he knows the Father's comfort too. So thank you all. Bless you. Have a good rest of the day, rest of the week, and we'll see you next week.
See everybody.